Last year, on the 4th of July, my girlfriend Cassie and I went camping to get away from all the fireworks and drunk people for a change. We discovered a peaceful, secluded area deep in the woods, close to a lake. There was no cell service, no other campers, just the two of us, a tent, and nature. As the sun started to set, a cool breeze made the temperature drop immediately. We cuddled by the crackling fire and watched the fireworks going off in the sky. We made s'mores, ate roast chicken, and fell asleep in each other's arms. Around 1:30 in the morning, I woke up to the sound of singing. Yes, someone was singing in the woods. At first, it was soft and airy, like it was coming through the trees. I thought I might be dreaming, but Cassie sat up and stared at me with big eyes.
"Do you hear that?"
she asked in a low voice. As the voice grew louder, I realized it was a woman singing God Bless America in a slow, off-key voice, sounding like she was drunk and delusional.
"Why is she singing like that?"
Cassie whispered. "I don't know. Let me check." Cassie grabbed my hand and spoke in a shaken voice.
"No, wait. What if she's some crazy freak with a knife?"
I could see fear in her deep blue eyes. She is not an easy scare, but the singing did sound creepy. I waited for a few more seconds and then decided to check it out myself. I opened the tent and came out. The fire had extinguished, but the moon was shining brightly enough to see things around the campground. My eyes scanned the tall trees, and suddenly I spotted a figure. It was indeed a woman. She was dancing slowly in a clearing about 30 feet away. She was as thin as a skeleton and had no shoes. She was dressed in a torn-up American flag that was dirty and stained. The flag clung to her bony frame like a dress. Her messy gray hair had seen better days.
"God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home."
Once I noticed her bare feet, my heart stopped. Her feet were bleeding like she had walked on needles. But the worst thing was her face. She was happy, a wide, frozen smile spread across her face that didn't change, even when she sang. But then, Cassie had come out too. She took my arm and said,
"What the hell is wrong with her?"
Before I could respond, the woman looked at us and laughed in a breathy, broken way. We ran back to the tent and zipped ourselves in, thinking that would help. She didn't follow us all the way back, and after waiting for an hour when we didn't hear her anymore, we thought she was probably some junkie wandering aimlessly into the night. We eventually dozed off, hoping that that was the end of it, but within half an hour, I woke up hearing Cassie scream. Then I heard running footsteps fading away.
"She was watching us! She even took our picture!"
I wanted to go out and investigate, but Cassie didn't let me this time. When the sunlight hit the tent, we came out. The first thing we saw was that our things were all over the place. Someone had rifled through our cooler, tossed clothes everywhere, and moved the camp chairs. But the fire pit, that's where things went wrong. In the cold ashes was something partially burned. I picked it up. It was a photograph. A Polaroid photo of me sleeping in the tent, from the exact angle where Cassie saw the woman. On the back, written in this thick red smear that looked far too much like blood, were the words,
"Be mine this 4th.
We packed up and left without saying a word. We drove straight home and didn't stop until we were back in the city. I attempted to report it, but the ranger informed me that no one else had registered near that area throughout the weekend. There were no reports of missing persons or strange encounters. I don't know what we saw. A squatter? A psycho? A ghost? But Cassie and I are scared to go camping alone. Places that are secluded bring back my memory of that woman's face. All the hikers and adventure enthusiasts out there, Be careful this 4th of July. Hi, I'm 14-year-old Jamie from Jacksonville, Florida. And last year, on the 4th of July, something happened that changed my sleep cycle forever. I haven't told anyone the whole story, except for my cousin Josh, who didn't really believe me. Our town organized this big, fun carnival on the local fairgrounds. Getting annoyed by stupid kids running and people talking loudly, I snuck out behind the fairgrounds to smoke. I only smoked cheap, crumpled cigarettes that I stole from my uncle's stash. My mom didn't know I smoked sometimes, hence I had to be discreet. The sound of the rides and the country music blasting from the speakers got quieter the closer I got to the dumpsters at the edge of the field. There were a few lights that flickered and a chain-link fence that kept the fairgrounds and the woods apart. I took a big drag that calmed my nerves. Everything felt all right, until I noticed a man crouched down next to the trash cans with a red, white, and blue bandana tied around his head. His face was rough and lined, and he had long, shiny scars that looked like burns going down the side of his cheek. He lit a small firecracker between two fingers and giggled to himself. I thought it would pop and make him jump, but it didn't. He just held it there and watched it burn and sizzle. After that, he lit another one, and one more. Every time, he just let it fizzle in his hand like it didn't hurt at all. Suddenly, he turned his head at me, as if he had just noticed I was there. He smiled and asked, "Do you like fireworks?" I gulped in nervousness as our eyes met. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't move. The way he crouched and didn't blink made my skin crawl. He didn't care for my answer and went on saying, "I love the way they scream," and then started to laugh loudly. Sick amusement blasted from his eyes as if he were laughing at a private joke. I stepped back, thinking I could just say I was lost and run toward the crowd. But then, the man took something out of his coat that looked like a Roman candle and lit it with the end of a sparkler. He threw it right at me before I could do anything. The thing blew up in the air, and sparks flew right at my head. He stood up, clapping in ultimate joy, like my fear was fuel to his menace. "Let me put one in your mouth," he yelled and ran after me. I started running too. I didn't think I've ever run this fast before. I could hear the fizzing and popping of bottle rockets going off in his pockets and the whoosh of sparklers behind me. "Hear that bang?" I swear he was laughing the whole time. It was a high, broken laugh that didn't sound like a person. I was able to get back to the main carnival area and dove behind the corn dog stand. He was gone when I turned around, just like that. I didn't say anything to the police. What was I supposed to say? A crazy person was throwing fireworks at me? The next morning, everyone in town was talking about Madison. She was 14 years old and went to my school. There was a picture of her on every post. She wore braces and tied her blonde hair into a ponytail. She went missing from the carnival that night. 2 days later, the cops found her body in a ditch off Mill Road. The official report didn't say much, but people talked. My cousin told me that his dad, who works for the fire department, saw what happened. Someone had put firecrackers in her mouth and lit them. Madison's lips were burned, and her face was blackened, as if someone had tried to make her scream one last time. Hearing this, the man's creepy words echoed in my ears. "I love how they scream." I still hear that sentence in my head from time to time. Since then, I haven't been able to go to the fairgrounds, and I haven't smoked another cigarette either. The investigation turned out to be a cold case because the man was never caught. But a week ago, I was walking home from school and saw something in the storm drain next to the playground. One side was burned black, and it still smelled like sulfur. It was a bandana in red, white, and blue. I didn't touch it. I looked at it for a few seconds and then ran all the way home. So yes, you can believe me or not, but if you smell sulfur or hear the fizz-pop sound late at night on the 4th of July, don't stay outside. And if a guy asks you if you like fireworks, run. Every 4th of July, I get goosebumps. It's all because of the memory of 2017. I was 16 back then and visited my uncle in rural Indiana. He owns this big farmhouse in the country. It has fields, old trees, and a crooked white fence, just like a classic American postcard. I had been there a few times before, but this time was different. My aunt, uncle, and their two kids took care of me over the weekend because my parents were away. It was a laid-back 4th of July with hot dogs, music, and fireworks. The town doesn't put on big shows, so we lit our own things in the backyard. It was just after the sun went down. I was keeping an eye on my cousins while they lit firecrackers. I got up to get a soda from the cooler when my eyes went to the edge of the tree line on the other side of the field. A little girl, maybe 7 or 8 years old, was standing there with a sparkler in her hand. Her dress looked old, like it was made in the 60s, and her socks were stained with mud and dirt. She wasn't wearing any shoes, which felt very odd to me. One more weird thing was the sparkler in her hand. It wasn't blinking like a normal one. It was glowing all the time. The brightness of its sparks felt too bright. I assumed she was a neighbor's child, either lost or eager to join us, so I made my way to the tree line. When I was close enough for her to hear me, I waved at her. She waved back with her hand, saying,
"Come light one with me."
"Well, you can join us. My cousin has more firecrackers." She grinned at me, and suddenly approaching her felt like a rookie mistake. I have seen annoying kids, kids who make people regret having them, but she scared me. Something in her stretchy smile and expressionless eyes told me I shouldn't be talking to her, but it was too late already. Suddenly, she turned around and ran into the woods. I thought of going after her, but then I noticed the spot where she was standing. The ground beneath her feet had a dark patch of burnt grass. The sparkler's light continued to shine my eyes, even after she left. I tried to forget about it that night. We went to bed at around midnight after watching a movie. I slept in the guest room upstairs. I left the window open a little bit so the cool breeze could calm down my nerves. I woke up at about 3 a.m., seeing lights under the crack of my door. Did someone keep the corridor light on? But no, I was wrong. I opened the door and found a sparkler on the wooden floor. It was just sitting up. Whoever brought it here made sure to stick it between the floorboards so it could burn perfectly. There were no sparks or smoke, just this steady white-hot flame like before. I watched it, feeling it was all just a dream, when somebody giggled from the other end of the corridor. It sounded like a little girl's. My eyes kept staring at the dark end of the corridor. A few seconds passed, and then a minute passed, before I suddenly heard running footsteps approaching me. I couldn't see anything. I only heard the stomping of feet getting louder and closer with each passing second. I rushed back in and locked the door, panting like a dog. Cold sweat covered my palms as I couldn't figure out what was happening with me. Suddenly, I heard the same giggle in the corner of my room. I looked, and there she was, standing in the darkness, smiling at me. It was the same girl from the tree line, and her eyes were glowing. She slowly peeked her head from the darkness, and I saw her face that numbed my veins. Her mouth was on fire. It looked as if it had melted shut in some places and cracked open in others. Her lips were black and full of blisters. Her hands were even worse. They were thin and bony, and the skin was burned all the way down to the bone. She had a sparkler stuck to her fingers, which was burning her skin.
"Happy 4th of July!"
She screamed in a demonic voice. I was horrified. I couldn't yell. I just passed out completely. In the morning, when I woke up, I found myself lying on the cold floor, covered in sweat. I ran down the stairs and told my uncle and aunt everything. Their faces drained of color as they heard the words coming out of my mouth. My uncle sat down slowly and started crying. My aunt sat me down with teary eyes and told me the most tragic story ever. The girl I saw was my dad's cousin. Her name was Ellie. When she was 8, she died in a fire during a 4th of July party. She was alone in the barn lighting sparklers when one of them caught her dress. People say she didn't scream. She walked into the field, on fire and smiling, as if she didn't even feel it. They showed me a picture from an old album. It was her. After her funeral, my grandparents kept the shoes she was wearing at the time. The shoes were half melted with many burns. I realized why Ellie was standing in the field wearing socks. I don't understand why she let me see her. Perhaps it was because I was the only one unfamiliar with her story. She might have wanted someone to remember her. I told my cousins about her too, so that they don't get to see Ellie, like I did.
God bless America, my home, sweet.